Okay, we're going to have open lines for you now for the next couple hours. Also, if you get a moment, go up to the coasttocoastam.com website. You'll see the pictures on the highlight reel. You will see one of my office bookcases full of books. Now, I'm not going to give every one of those books away, but we're going to give some away to those of you who randomly call, and then we just pick you based on a little interlude we're going to do throughout the night. So take a look at the picture and then get ready to go. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Open lines for you. I'm going to open up a hotline too. Okay. Let me give you the number 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. For those of you who have died and came back, 818-817-0021. Lots going on. The clock continues to tick. By the way, get up to our website to take a look at my calendar, which is under hosts, if you would. I'm going to be in the state of Washington tomorrow at the White Light Express. Come on out and see that event. Those of you who live in the greater Seattle area or in the state of Washington, still a few tickets left, and we'd love to see you. Let's go to our wild card line, Joanna in San Fidel, New Mexico. Hello, Joanna.
Oh, hi, George.
Welcome.
Hello, this is Joanna. I was on April 6th. I was really upset because the aliens were in my house. I'm not afraid of them anymore at all. And Yvonne Smith, apparently she removed some of the blocks.
She's very good.
Yeah, there's just one left that Medicine Man in South Dakota is going to do. But it seems like there's been a lot of downloading going on. The last 2 weeks, for sure, I talked over that with Steve Colburn at the Contact in the Desert this weekend.
Okay.
And then also, George, all those records, if you would like to share those with Whitley, I would like to know if Whitley and Ann felt anything Saturday before noon or around that time. Because at the conference, I asked everybody to let's take 15 seconds and send you guys some love. And I don't know if you could tell that or not, but
we're always feeling love, Jonna. Always.
Excuse me?
We're always feeling love.
Yeah, but I asked everybody in the sanctuary at the conference, I said, let's take 15 seconds and send Andon Whitley Strieber some love.
Good for you.
1, 2, 3. And count it off, you know. So I just want to know if that made a difference. And then Whitley, in his book, he mentioned one of the beings. The name was Yumo or Yumo.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Kowakic language, Pueblo of Laguna. That's our language, and that word means brother in our language.
Interesting.
And then also the contacts I've had with the one I call Muggsy. He's like a grayish green, tannish colored ET. He told me that what they're doing now, they're spiritually cleaning house. They're trying to get rid of all the negativity, the corruption, to where the truth will actually show itself before they make the physical contact to everyone.
And why do you call him Muggsy?
Because I saw Stan Romanek, clip on YouTube, and the one that would come to his window and the one that Dr. Jones would talk to, they called him Boo. And it kind of lessens your fear level, you know, if you can kind of minimize it some way. And so I named mine Muggsy.
All right. Well, good. good for you. Let's go to Peoria, Illinois. Ryan's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Ryan, thanks for calling.
Hi. How you doing tonight?
Good, Ryan.
I wanted to call in and I wanted to say something. Last Sunday, I was at the park with my family in the afternoon, and I was sitting on a swing, and I happened to look up in the sky, and I saw something. It was way up there, and it looked like a capsule shape, and I could see that the sun was, like, you know, reflecting off of it. And I watched it, you know, move naturally across the sky, not rapid or slow or anything. And the whole time I was watching it, I was just, you know, mesmerized. I could not figure out what it was. I have no idea what I was looking at.
Well, you know, did anybody else see it?
Well, I should have told somebody.
Yeah.
But I was just almost froze, just looking at it like, wait a minute, that's not an airplane. What, you know, what else do you see in the sky besides an airplane?
Well, maybe drones these days, Ryan. They're up there. I'm convinced that drones were probably spotted 10 years ago. And people thought that they were UFOs. I mean, they have that strange shape to it. So a lot of those have been confused with that. Hey, by the way, I'm going to be giving out some books tonight because I just want to. I'm not going to throw them out. And we're getting too many back here. You know, we've held some of them for 10 years. And I'm just going to give them to you randomly. But throughout the night, we're going to have a little fun, too. You know, since I was a kid, there were a number of shows on television that influenced me. I mean, it was a different time. These were just classic shows, many of them from the 60s, a few from the 50s. And I'm going to, you know, when we go to open lines, I'm going to play a little clip just to see if you remember that show. Let's pick it up, though. Let's go to Nikki in Burbank, California, to start things. Hey, Nikki, welcome to the show.
Hello, George. How are you?
Great.
I'm a very long-time listener, like since back in our building.
Good for you. Good for you. I'm going to play a little clip for you and tell me if you know. Of course, they probably mentioned the name of the show in the clip, but let's play it anyways. Here's the first one.
Okay,
Nikki, any idea what that was from?
The Munsters?
You got it.
Yes.
You got it.
Awesome. I didn't know I was going to get quizzed. I wasn't expecting that.
1964 to 66.
Yep. So Whitley's gone, isn't he?
Whitley has departed. He's left the building.
Well, I actually, you know what, then I'll just add this as a commentary. I'm actually curious, and maybe this is something that, you know, he might be interested in looking into, but he mentioned the demographics of his website being so many young people, and there's, you know, so many, you know, abduction and contact mm-hmm. cases with this younger demographic, and I'm wondering if he's familiar with the starseed phenomenon and if that might be playing into it.
Oh, yeah, he knows all about that.
Fantastic. That was my only question for him tonight, is how familiar he was with that phenomenon and how it plays into it. Because, I mean, clearly a lot of these young people that identify as starseeds seem to have repeated contact, including myself. So that was definitely something I was curious about, if he was aware of it.
Okay.
If that played into the demographics.
And good pick, by the way, on that clip. I'm going to play another one right here. This one. 1966. I think everybody knows this. And of course, we know what that is. 1966. Star Trek. What a classic. You know, the ratings for that show were not very good in the beginning. And they almost bounced it off television. Next up, we go to WC in Cotulla, Texas. Hey, WC, how are you?
Hey, good, George. Star Trek.
You got it.
Anyway, I was calling in to ask you if you had seen that YouTube clip that was on the Drudge Report of the tactical nuke strike in, I think it was Syria.
I haven't seen the YouTube. I heard about the story. It's weird, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and they were, when they were filming it, they were shouting Allah Akbar, you know, or whatever, God is great, or something like that.
The entire Middle East is going to blow up.
It's all over the region, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, we can see it, we can feel it. Egypt is a disaster. It's out of control. And let's just hope it doesn't pull us in. By the way, Skype's open, George 97313 for you, and the hotline's open for those of you who have died. and obviously came back, unless you're calling me from the other side. That's just as well, too. Let's go to Pat in El Paso, Texas. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Good morning.
Hi.
And this is the original birthplace of Gene Roddenberry, El Paso, Texas.
Oh, that's right.
I've died a few times, and I learned a lot of stuff while I was dead. One thing that I do pass on to everybody is that please be good to everybody and animals, because if not, you will punish yourself. You would judge yourself.
It's karma, and it comes around and gets you, doesn't it?
Yes, and I, you know, have believed more in God nowadays than ever, because the world is going to hell, basically, and we need to be good to one another and remember that the golden rule applies to everybody, all religions, that we need to be a little bit more accepting.
I think, Pat, most people are good to their fellow man or woman. They're good people, don't you think?
Yes. And sometimes I see acts of kindness that are so great, and it brings tears to my eyes, because it shouldn't be a rare event. It should be something that we practice as human beings every day.
Well, you're right about that. What is, in your lifetime, what has been the greatest deed you've ever seen somebody do for somebody else?
I think the greatest thing that I've ever saw was what actually happened to me as a child. I was very sick in the hospital, and my mother ended up in the hospital as well. The surgeon was going to repair some sort of a breast implant that my mother was trying to get, and he found out by accident that she had cancer in her breast and offered to adopt me, because there would have been nobody that would have been able to take care of me at that time. And just the offer, you know, was, you know, that I found out many years later was astonishing, because here's a doctor that we don't even know, and he was willing to open his house to a stranger.
That's remarkable.
And I was just, you know, floored when I was told that story. Thank God that he was able to take out the cancer out of my mom's breast, and she did live, you know, 20 years more. But, you know, I thought that was just an act of kindness that he didn't need to do.
I'm going to give you some books. You want some?
Yes, I would love to get one.
Okay, Pat, you get more than one. Believe me, I'm going to get you a whole bunch of them. I'll put you on hold, Tom, get Pat's address, and we'll get some books right out to you, Pat. I appreciate you calling. Okay, here's another little clip. This was our friend, by the way, Mr. Billy Moomy, 1965, 1968. That was it. Lost in Space. You remember when we had Billy Moomy on, of course, playing the part of Will Robinson. That was it. As much as I've watched that show, sometimes you forget some of these themes. We've got a few more to play tonight for you while we continue with Open Lines. We go next to Roy in Hillsboro, Oregon. Welcome to the program, Roy. Thanks for calling.
Mr. Norrie, good to talk to you, sir.
You too.
I was first-time caller, but I've been listening for quite a while.
Well, thanks for joining us.
One of the things I wanted to say about this whole nonsense with the media in Area 51, first off, as everybody knows, they're just treating it as a nice little laugh between quote-unquote real news stories.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But this is proof that for the past how many years, 40, 50 years, the government and the military has been lying to us?
Of course.
And also now, the old adage of hiding in plain sight, guess what they get to do? They get to hide in plain sight. The media makes the jokes that, oh, nobody's found any Martians, nobody's found any little green men. That's because nobody talks about it. Guess what? They get to hide out in plain sight.
And that was the hype.
Anything there of a alien tech, alien biology, they can hide it in plain sight and laugh it off as a joke.
Wheel it right out in front of people. They won't even notice it.
Exactly. And I'm sorry. I've heard some of the callers. You're not the first person to talk about it tonight. We've got a program out here called Ground Zero in Oregon.
Yeah. A lot of stations, they play right before we come on.
Yes, exactly. I've been listening to that person talk about it. And they can hide it in plain sight. And I personally follow the line that of Zachariah Sitchin and what he researched, because if you look at it nowadays, how many people are jumping on that bandwagon and claiming the research is almost as their own?
Well, that's a good point. Ground Zero, by the way, with Clyde Lewis, he does a great job bringing more information to the forefront. It really does. Let's go to Mick in Los Angeles. Hey, Mick, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi.
Howdy.
George, we share the same birthday.
June 4. Way to go.
Yeah, it's funny. You were talking the other night to a gentleman who, from Australia. He was talking about seeing the dead or the ghosts.
Yeah, he's a medium.
At their funeral. Now, I saw that was transmitted to me. I saw my own father at his funeral, and I'm coping with a loss, but I realize he's still there, though I don't see him, and
right.
I feel like he talks to me and stuff. And UFOs are a different matter. I haven't seen one yet.
I saw two a few years ago, and they were weird. I mean, I didn't see any structure, but they were doing 90-degree turns and stopping up there. I mean, they're really strange.
That's interesting.
I saw them with third-generation night vision glasses and binoculars. And a matter of fact, I've asked Bob Crane to get one to test to see if something that we might be able to offer to you. But they've got to be high-quality third generation in order to see anything up there. But you will be amazed at what you see in the night sky. Well, next Friday, our guest on Beyond Belief will be Robin Falkov, Dr. Falkov, of course, talking about all things medicine and what's happening in the world of big pharma. You're going to love that show. And how do you watch it? 10 days free. Simply go to coasttocoastam.com, click hosts at the top, and then click the TV icon and then open it up. And there you go. Lots of people starting to join it this month, as a matter of fact. I don't know why, but they are. Lots of them. We'll be back in a moment with more of your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, just about everybody knows this one, 1959 to 1964. Great music, huh? The Twilight Zone. One of my favorites. Serling was a genius, wasn't he? Absolute genius. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Michelle in Albuquerque, New Mexico, first-time caller. Hello, Michelle.
Yes.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I was just wondering, has anybody ever asked a question or answered this question in form of that I believe what's going on, people are seeing what they're seeing. Why? Because I've had an experience. That if anybody's investigated them prior to their visitations or whatever's going on, that if they've dabbled in mediums, in the Ouija board, in any kind of mediums and forms of shaman, the new age, anything that's new like that.
Let me tell you something. It's very, very possible. But
that leads up to that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it does. Well, what do you think, though? What's happening?
I think it is. And the more you open yourself up to that, the more things happen. Experience was that I wanted to have a talent, a gift of healing, and I did Reiki. And when I did that, I mean, it's a pretty detailed, long story, but anyway, when I did that, I never received a certificate. She never called me back, because you do it, and then get a certificate.
Right, you're supposed to.
I met a lot of strange people that she knew, the person that was teaching me. People who had heat in their hands, people could go into other people.
Was she a good teacher?
From across the room. You know, you could be sitting there, and then all of a sudden that other person mentally or, you know, spiritually goes into you and without your permission. She just had a variety of people there.
Was she a good teacher for you?
Well, I don't think it was. For me, it wasn't, because the experience I had, and that's why I'm saying, you know, what was there, what are people's prior visitations? I mean, after their, before their visitations, what were they doing before that? That's my curiosity.
Well, I got to tell you, the more you do it, I think the better you get in just about anything. That's what life is. You know, the more you do it, the better you get. Let's go to Tom. He's got a text message for us.
Sure do here, George. Terry in Illinois, she says, "Hey, George, I really enjoy the guests you have on about reincarnation, but I don't think I believe in it. If it's true, like some people say, then why is it that everyone who claims to be reincarnated can never remember what they were in a past life?"
Well, I think that it's a mechanism for shutting down your ability to remember, because you'd have a difficult time in your current life if you kept remembering all those things. Some people do. It does cross over.
This is a great question, but it is true. I don't think I run into anybody or anybody we have on the show that remembers.
You have to do it in hypnotherapy. That seems to be the only way to pull it out.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, remember, though, the little boy in Chicago thought he was a World War II pilot. I mean, he did that on his own. It just came out.
That's a good point. So maybe you have to be young.
Well, I don't know. You may be an open mind, huh?
Maybe.
Okay, next up we go to Vision in New York, New York. Hello, Vision.
Hello, George. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Okay. George, I've been a long-time listener, and I've heard comments from the guests how there seems to be a spiritual awakening taking over university-wide. And what I wanted to say was that these are earth angels who have been with us for many, many years. Abraham and Isaac, if you remember, he was told that his descendants would be more than grains of sand. These are where these earth angels come from Abraham, from Isaac, through their family line. And the earth angels nowadays, you can recognize them because these are people that have a certain glow about them. They're very positive. These are people that are soothing. They are good listeners. They give good advice. They don't have to be very wealthy. it could be someone in a low-income neighborhood, but you can look at this person and tell that there is something unique about them. For example, when a grandparent takes and gives up their life to dedicated to their grandchildren, they develop a certain specialness about them, a special soothing. For example, even you yourself, I consider you to be an earth angel. They age gracefully. They always are happy.
Are they human beings?
Yes, George, they are human beings, but they're human beings with kind of like a divine essence almost. Because one word that they tell you, an advice that they can give you, and if the person that is listening to this advice follows through, it can change their whole situation to a great outcome.
Do they know that they have a specific role here on the planet?
Yes, they do. And I'm going to tell you something, George. There are a lot of people that know they have a specific role here on this planet. Unfortunately, all this electronic, TV, the internet is purposely being kind of like presented to us to keep us constantly busy. You see, because you need to meditate. You need to live by your own drummer. When you follow in suit like a chain line, you are losing the ability to open yourself up to your divine duty.
How many of these angels are out there?
George, just like it says in the book, they are more than they are grains of sand. I could tell you this. Every individual has met an earth angel at one time in their life.
Even though they probably didn't even know it, did they?
Exactly. Exactly. And the shame about it is that if these earth angels were to have the support of their neighbor, their community, they're capable of doing so much more, because, of course, when two or more minds are on the same positive thought, that's where you can materialize things. Let me put it to you like this. Back in the days when all these immigrants came to Ellis Island, every immigrant that came to Ellis Island, they didn't know each other, but everything they knew is that they wanted a better life.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted happiness, a home, a job, and to make their next generation's life better.
I think that's what all of us want. Simple. Just like that. Just a nice little place for our family. Make sure they're okay. And make sure their kids are okay. Simple as that. I've got one more clip for you, then we'll finish the rest of them up next hour. This one was 1962 to 63. These shows didn't live long at all. Brings back memories, doesn't it? Just incredible. So far, every show that we've played, every clip, Monsters, Star Trek, Lost in Space, Twilight Zone, The Jetsons, I watched them all as a kid. Let's see now. I was, when the Monsters started, I was 14. Star Trek, 16. Lost in Space, 15. Twilight Zone, I was 9. Jetsons, I was 12. Wow, makes you really think about those old days, doesn't it? Let's go to Dennis, truck driving in Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Hey, Dennis, good morning.
Good morning, George. How you doing,
good.
My friend?
Good to have you with us.
That's great. Hey, I got a story. I've died and have come back.
Well, then it's really good to have you with us.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be here. Believe me. Now, what happened was my wife used to work at a hospital, and at the time we only had one car, and I forget what I was doing, and I needed the car. So I went. She gets off work at 3:30, and I went to pick her up. She knows it's a chilly day. Actually, it was on her birthday, October 22nd, and I'm sitting out front of the hospital, and I started the car, and that's the last thing I remember for a couple of days. She said she came down to the car, and my head was back on a headrest. And she says, "What's the matter?" And I said that there was something seriously wrong. And then I was gone, and she freaked out and called for help. And they brought a crash car down and jump-started me and got me going again and rushed me back in. I don't remember anything that day or the next day. But what I do remember is, like, I hear people talking on your show where they see this white beam of light or whatever. And I didn't see that. I was like, in this rose purplish, real, I can't even describe the color. It was so beautiful, and it was so calm and peaceful, and I felt so much at ease. And just like all my problems and fears and worries were just gone, and I was happy as I could be. And I was just like floating in this like purplish, reddish, rose color, and I was going, I kept getting higher and higher, and then, like, I was, like, sucked right back down into my body, and that's when I got mad. So why'd you bring me back? I was, like, enjoying it.
It was peaceful bliss, wasn't it?
Oh, it was beautiful. That's why I'm not afraid to die now, because I know wherever I'm going, it's going to be really nice, and it was just, like, a wonderful experience.
But you're glad they jump-started you, aren't you?
Yeah, because my daughter was only 11 at the time. She's 22 now, and, I'm on my second pacemaker. I've had a pacemaker now for like 11 or 12 years.
Has technology with those pacemakers changed?
Oh, my God. It is unbelievable. The one I have now costs like $75,000.
Whoa!
Yeah, and it's got all the bells and whistles. It can have it do anything it wants to do.
How big is it?
It's about the size of a silver dollar.
Well, that's not bad. So they've gotten smaller too then, haven't they?
Yeah. It's up in my like right left shoulder blade.
And it runs on batteries, right?
Oh, yeah.
How did they change the batteries? And, of course, you never want it to die out because could die out, right?
No. Well, they test it once or twice a year. They test it until the battery, they know 6 months before when it's going to die, because they test it and they can test the strength of the battery.
Okay.
And 6 months before it needs to change, they get to you and say, well, look, you know, you got about 6 more months on this battery, And they don't change the battery. They just change the complete unit.
Where are there little wires leading from a pacemaker? I've really never seen one.
Yeah, there's. I have a wire going to the top of my heart and a wire going to the bottom of my heart. I got the dual chamber pacemaker, and it when your heart rate's normally between 60 and 80, and when mine drops down, it would be about I'd say 62. It kicks my heart rate back up to 92 beats a minute. I mean, it was like really weird at first getting used to it, because when you go to sleep at night and you relax and calm down, your heart rate slows down.
Right.
Well, my heart rate would slow down and the pacemaker would kick in and I'd be up looking at the walls.
And would you feel the pacemaker? I mean, did you feel like a little electrical charge?
You don't feel electrical charge. You feel something stimulating your heart and getting it going again. But now when it does it, I just like roll over and go back to sleep. It doesn't even affect me anymore.
Now, does your heart skip a beat when that happens?
No, actually what happened is it's called myocardial syncope. And my heart rate, well, your heart rate's normally between 60 and 80. Mine dropped down to 30. I was like 2 beats away from a coma.
My gosh. Okay, so without the pacemaker, what could happen to you?
And without the pacemaker, I'd die.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, if it wasn't for that little electrical signal in there. And at the time, when I first got my first one, I was working for a plumbing company. And I was standing in a ditch of water, and I touched the water valve, and I got electrocuted.
Oh, my gosh, you have to be careful.
I had 5,000 volts run through my body, and they had to jump in the ditch and drag me out. And I called my cardiologist, and he had me come in and check it. He says, I really wasn't worried because there's a circuitry in there that if you would bypass it, it'd bypass all the important stuff and not sort out your pacemaker.
When the sun is acting up, does that ever affect you?
No, not at all.
Okay, that's good. That's remarkable.
They're even good around microwave ovens. It used to be when you had a pacemaker, you couldn't go by microwave ovens. But there's the only thing that really bothers me is magnets.
Magnets? Really?
Oh,
what do they do?
Yeah. They increase your heart rate tremendously. It does something to it that it, like, triples your heart rate.
Wow. Well, do you ever get to the point where your heart's beating too fast?
No, no.
All right, that's good.
Only when I'm full. My first pacemaker that I had, I used to have to check it. Like, I had this little computer thing that I put probes on my hand, and they had this really super strong magnet that I had to put on the pacemaker. That used to freak me out. They used to get my heart flipping so fast, it would drive me crazy.
And the pacemaker is on the inside or outside of your chest cavity?
It's on the inside.
It is on the inside. They just a little incision and slip it in there?
They just cut me open and put it in a little pocket there. They sewed up a pocket and they just slip it in there.
Does it go off through a metal detector when you go through the airport?
I can't go through a metal detector. It messes it up. That's the only thing that I can't do.
They
have to pat me down.
They do. Do you have to show them a letter or anything like that from your doctor?
I have a card. I have a pacemaker card that I carry.
That's interesting.
That I have a pacemaker that they can't scan me.
That is intriguing.
It is pretty interesting. The technology is crazy. Right now, this new one I have is a St. Jude pacemaker. I have this thing sitting on my desk. And they can, like, scan the room, and it'll pick up the pacemaker and tell them exactly what it's doing.
And it just sends out its signal.
Yep, sends out a signal.
Yeah, that's great technology. Well, thank you so much, Dennis, and I'm glad everything is beating along for you, so to speak. And that's fascinating, little pieces of equipment in there. And I just be careful, though, if we get an X-flare, because you wonder then if that would have any effect on your electronics. You know, that you got to be very careful for. Send me an email, if you would, george@coasttocoastam.com, about all things tied into the show. And we'll be back in a moment with more open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM.